This episode is brought to you by Newspapers.com. Discover your mom in the paper when you search Newspapers.com. Find the stories that made her who she is today by searching the largest online newspaper archive. Newspapers.com makes it easy to find your mom, grandma, and others in the papers. Search more than 945 million pages from major news titles to small-town papers. Uncover birth and marriage announcements, obituaries, photos, and much, much more. Explore papers dating back to 1690 or as recent as last month. Newspapers.com is used by millions of people every month for genealogy, historical research, and more. Find something you like? With Newspapers.com, it's a snap to save and share articles with family and friends or attach them directly to your ancestry tree. Use promo code FAMILYTREEMAGAZINE, all one word, for a 20% discount on your subscription. That's code FAMILYTREEMAGAZINE, all one word, and celebrate the stories of a lifetime with Newspapers.com.
Welcome to the Family Tree Magazine podcast. It's the podcast from America's number one genealogy magazine. I'm Andrew Cook, editor of Family Tree Magazine, filling in for Lisa Louise Cook. April 25th is DNA Day, making this month a great time to take a DNA test or review your results. To celebrate, we've invited DNA expert Kitty Munson Cooper to talk about GenMatch, one of the leading third-party tools for DNA analysis. We had a wide-ranging conversation about how you can use GenMatch to better understand your DNA results and dive deeper than the conventional DNA testing companies will allow. I'm here with Kitty Munson Cooper. She's a blogger and DNA expert, best known for her blog, blog.kittycooper.com, and she recently gave a webinar for Family Tree University and wrote an article for our website all about GenMatch. Welcome to the Family Tree Magazine podcast, Kitty.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm looking forward to talking about GenMatch, one of my favorite platforms. I think the thing people don't realize is GenMatch was written by hobbyists for hobbyists originally. It wasn't a big commercial site. It was an attempt to fill the gap with tools that none of the testing companies provided.
And it does have so many great in-depth tools.
Oh, yeah. Sure. But so new users can find it a little bit overwhelming because there's so much there. So I've attempted many times, and particularly in the recent webinar, to distill it to the basics. But I'm also going to do a blog post after this and list some of the tools I've blogged about specifically so one can mix and match and do what interests you.
Yes. Yes, definitely. No matter where what your experience level previously with DNA has been.
Yeah, I was looking through my past emails with the people who founded GenMatch, and I got back to 2012.
Wow.
That's when I first got involved with them. Now, one thing is I did do some programming in the past for them, and they bought a tool that I had written to use on their site, which is the a tier one tool. It's a compact chromosome browser that does a really pretty graphic of how everybody matches everybody else. And when I originally wrote it, I had somebody who was colorblind help me pick colors that would be readable to them.
Yeah, and accessibility is so important, especially for web tools.
Well, I'm particularly aware of colorblind issues because we have a particular weird colorblindness that runs in my family, which is one of the reasons I got involved in DNA. And it was always funny to listen to my son and my dad say, "Oh, yeah, that's a really nice tan flower. Okay, it's purple, Dad." But, you know, they would agree with each other, and it was just the funniest thing. So that sort of sparked my interest in that and looking into that kind of DNA.
Yeah, I had a friend in college who was red-green colorblind, and he didn't realize that Apple Jacks were two different colors. But it is super fascinating how things like that will run in families. I'm sure there's an
argument there. Yes, well, because it's totally genetic. It's DNA-related, and the thing is, when I researched that particular, it's a blue-yellow color blindness, or the blue-green boundary is difficult for them. It claims that it's carried on chromosome 7, But since I don't have it, and both my son and my father had it, I can promise you there's something on the X that activates it.
Right. You would certainly think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if I didn't get it, and, you know, that's the only way it could be passed, it has to be something on the X.
Yeah. So you said that GEDmatch for new users can be a little intimidating. What tool would you recommend for someone who's just getting started at GEDmatch?
Well, the first, you have to upload your DNA. Mm-hmm. And it takes a day or two to get tokenized, which means put in the format GEDmatch uses. But the workhorse is something called the one-to-many, which mm-hmm. takes your DNA kit and compares it to everybody on the platform and tells you who, you know, shows you all your DNA relatives. And you may find some new ones, or you may find some cousins you've been out of touch with. But that's certainly the workhorse. The other thing that people really enjoy is it has different ancestry composition tools from the main testing companies. They call them admix tools, and they're a lot of fun. But the thing to understand is your ancestry composition, it's not an exact science. It's right. So far from it. It's completely different from relative matching, which is a very exact science.
Mm-hmm. And exactly. You call them ethnicity estimates for a reason.
Right, exactly. But they're still fun, good cocktail conversation. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes get alarmed because, you know, dad is German and I don't have any German in my DNA. Well, German doesn't necessarily show up as German. Germany was a crossroads. It could show up as Scandinavian, Italian, Eastern European, French. They've all wandered through there. So do not get alarmed just because it's not what you expect. There was a lot of movement around Europe. If you're primarily European, then your mixture is going to be perhaps different from what you expect. On the other hand, if you discover you're half Jewish and neither of your parents is Jewish, there might be something to research there. Mm-hmm. Somebody did that, turned out their parents had used a sperm donor.
Right.
And that happens. Right. In the old days, they told people not to tell the kid. Mm-hmm. And I certainly have spoken with people who were really upset when they found out. Why didn't my parents tell me? And I just say, look, you know, your dad is your dad. He's the guy who raised you, changed your diapers, picked you up when you fell. You know, don't get too fussed about the biological ancestry. It's worth researching in case there's something there that, you know, health stuff. You know, you go to the doctor and ask you about your family health, and now half of it is wrong. You do want to know that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's part of what makes these DNA tools so valuable is that they can bring a lot of that to life.
Yeah.
So you had talked about the one-to-many tool in particular being so valuable. And, you know, one thing that I've heard people talk about with GEDmatch is that because GEDmatch itself isn't a testing company, people who have tested from all different companies will upload there. And so there's a lot of value to using GEDmatch because you can access these other test takers that maybe didn't test at your company. So can you talk about why a test taker would want to do that and compare their results sort of across the companies?
Sure. Well, imagine, you know, you've done your ancestry test, you, and then you discover that cousin Julia tested at 23andMe. So you can't compare to her because neither Ancestry nor 23andMe takes uploads from other companies. So now you get a little bit annoyed. But it turns out a number of other companies do take uploads. Family Tree DNA, MyHeritage. But GEDmatch has some tools that nobody has. So I always recommend that they upload to GEDmatch and do the comparison there because GEDmatch is a little better than everybody else at using a template and showing you how many SNPs you have in common. Because what happened is the testing companies have diverged in the number of SNPs they test, mainly because they were in search of better ancestry composition, you know, more broad ancestry composition. And so they're no longer testing on the same chip. Now, what does this mean? Well, first of all, you do realize that these DNA tests test like 1% of 1% of your DNA, as most of us are 99.5% identical. That's the part that makes us human in our DNA. And so it's the little variations that tell about your ancestry that they want to test. But each company's picked some different ones. And personally, if you're serious about this stuff, I did test at every place. I tested at Living DNA, Ancestry, and 23andMe. And then one of the paid membership benefits at GEDmatch is you can make a super kit. I was able to combine all my DNA kits into one, which is a combined kit, which gives you much broader coverage. And so when you compare to someone who's tested at a different company, you're going to have more SNPs in common. Do you know what a SNP is? Do I even want to tell anybody? Look it up on Wikipedia. Anyway, SNP is where we're a place in our DNA where we're more likely to vary from person to person. So that's what we're testing. It's a single, single
nucleotide polymorphism.
Yes, Andrew, you got it. Okay. But it's what we're trying to test is where we're different from each other, because we're all really amazingly alike.
Yes. And the more SNPs you test, or it, to the point that you're making, because each of these testing companies might do slightly different SNPs, or putting them all together gives you a wider range that you can compare with. And generally, the more SNPs you test, the more accurate the results.
Right. So you'll have better coverage when you compare to a relative who tested only at one company. I mean, GEDmatch, I think, does better than any of the companies at having a template that works across the different companies. And it'll even show you there's a column in that one to many, which for the article on the web, I actually wrote a description of what each current column heading is, because they've changed since I wrote one 10 years ago. I think that's pretty helpful. But one of the column headings is overlap, and that's talking about where you have the same SNPs tested. And if it's less than 100,000, then the results may not be as accurate.
Good. Plus, so you
they show you when you do the one-to-one. One of the things you can do from the one-to-many is you find, oh, there's Cousin Grace. I didn't know she was still around. Oh, wow. You can click on the amount you share with her, or it's actually the largest segment amount, and it'll take you to this one-to-one form, which shows you exactly where in your DNA you match each other. And it'll also show you a SNP density on that so that you know how good a test it is, how close it is in terms of being accurate. Because it's a fill in the blanks in some of these places.
Right.
And sometimes if you haven't tested the SNPs that your cousin has tested, the blanks are assumed to be the same when they aren't necessarily. Mm-hmm. So that's... Now, why would you want to do the one-to-one? Well, that's a more advanced topic. For those of us who want to see what DNA we got from great-granddaddy, and we have, cousins who are second cousins, that we can find out what DNA came from great-granddaddy and great-grandma by just comparing our DNA specifically to those cousins. Yeah. And then we keep spreadsheets of all this stuff. Oh, yes. My. Well, but, you don't have to do that. Really, the one-to-many is where you start, because those of us who got into this stuff, it's because we were genealogists and we were trying to validate what we knew about our family tree. And in some cases, we've discovered things like, oh, great-granddaddy wasn't who we thought. Or, you discover breaks in your family line you weren't expecting. But it's easier the further back it is, because you're less invested in being related to that person. Right. Than you are with your parents.
Yeah.
And it's been a total blessing for adoptees.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's no denying that for sure. So you mentioned the ability to build this kind of super kit and this chromosome browser that you helped develop. Those are both tier one tools. So most of the tools at GEDmatch are free, but they offer a subscription plan that unlocks additional tools called tier one tools. Can you talk a little bit about what those extra tools are?
Sure. And I think it's a great model. That's the modern model on the internet. Give people enough so they can get started and enjoy themselves, but offer them the really good stuff if they pay for it. So one of those good things is the super kit. Another incredibly cool tool is it will search the GEDCOMs of your DNA matches and look for common relatives for you. Now, those of you who are at Ancestry are already used to this feature. Mm-hmm. You know, it's called through lines. So you can see what ancestors you have in common, but mostly, and MyHeritage does something similar, but this is at GEDmatch, it's tier one. Mm-hmm. GEDmatch did start as being compare GEDcoms. Now, for I'm sure all your listeners know that a GEDcom is the format for comparing family trees. Mm-hmm. It's you can export your family tree from whatever software you use as a GEDcom. And is it GEDcom or GEDcom is the question. But anyway, I've always said GEDcom. Uh-huh. And one of the cool tools, a free tool at GEDmatch, is to compare two GEDcoms. So if you upload your GEDcom, and I recommend ancestors only because you're looking for common ancestors, you can run it against the GEDcom of this new DNA match you have, provided mm-hmm. they've uploaded one, and have it tell you what you have in common. But as I said, there's a tier one tool that'll go through all your DNA matches looking for common ancestors, which is like so cool.
Yeah.
And the other biggies are, of course, clustering, which was mm-hmm. a really hot topic a few years ago because a way to look at who's related to whom. Mm-hmm. There's also triangulation, or one of the rabbit holes I love to go down, single segment search. Segment search, like sometimes I match somebody for a single segment. Now that can be hundreds and hundreds of years old. Maybe it's even mm-hmm. silly to go looking, but I can't help myself sometimes. What I like to do is fire up the segment search and tell it to look for everybody who matches me on that segment. And, or you could also do that in the triangulation tool to see if I can figure out how I'm related to this person who I match for 120 centimorgan segment, which is a good size. So maybe I could find it. Maybe. So I did one of those recently and came up with somebody in the 13th century in Norway. So who knows? I mean, he had a big tree like me. More likely, it was something more recent that wasn't correctly documented, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Right. Good. Well, GEDmatch, as many of our listeners will know, has made headlines for its role in solving cold cases, especially the Golden State Killer case was a big one. And the site allows users to opt in or out of use by law enforcement. What would you say to potential users who are concerned about their data's privacy on GEDmatch?
Well, we've all been trained to guard our privacy online, but all I can say is this is 1% of 1% of your DNA. It's not your credit card. It's not your social security number. What are you afraid of? Unless you have some weird health condition you don't want anyone to know about, I don't really understand why people have an issue with letting people compare their DNA to yours. The site itself allows for unidentified bodies without the opt-in. You've opted in by uploading. Now, how could you not want a mother to know what happened to their child? You know, unidentified bodies seems clear to me. What's less clear is outing your cousin, the murderer. Well, personally, if my cousin's a murderer, I wish to out him. I don't want him running loose to murder more people. But because of I think it's something cultural. We don't like to be snitches. But there's no real danger to you because they don't keep your raw DNA on there. They put you in a template that they use for comparisons, and they throw away the results that you uploaded. So the danger is if you have some weird condition, like the color blindness in my family, that you'll find other people with that condition. Oh, what fun. But these are my personal views. I do understand that people get really worried about their privacy, but I promise you, no mad scientist can clone you from what data you have on GEDmatch. What you're doing is helping people get closure and find out who murdered their baby. I mean, I think it's an incredibly helpful thing to allow law enforcement to use one's DNA, but that's just my opinion.
Sure. And we always encourage users to, you know, go in and look at the terms of service and read for yourself what, you know, how can your data be used and how can it not be used? You know, learn for yourself and try to stay up on what the changes are as they come along. To be proactive about it.
Yeah, that Golden State Killer case was a really big deal. I mean, I had a friend who grew up in Sacramento who was just terrorized when it was all happening. Yeah. So, to actually be able to figure this out from the DNA was the most amazing thing to everybody. And now you read, almost a story every day about another missing person identified, another killer outed. So, the use of genealogy and the forensic genealogy has become very mainstream. The police actually train in this. A whole bunch of them came to a recent conference I was at. So, yeah.
It's all very fascinating, and it brings new people to genealogy as well, I think, learning about these tools and how powerful they can be.
Exactly. One of the other unique tools at GEDmatch is, are your parents related? Mm-hmm. And one thing I found that's very interesting is if you're from an endogamous population, you may well find that your parents are distant cousins because mm-hmm. everybody married everybody for hundreds of years. So yes, you are cousins. But in even colonial American, again, very endogamous. So if all your roots are from one place, you may find a little bit of that.
Yeah. Well, and then that can inform your other DNA research too. So this community intermarried quite a bit. So we need to sort of change our threshold for what constitutes a close cousin, because your shared DNA is going to be different than if you were researching a non-endogamous community.
Exactly. And one thing you can do with the one-to-many is raise the lower threshold. I only want to see matches of 12 centimorgans or more. I don't want to go down to 7. And the other thing you look at is the largest segment, because the largest segment is always going to be larger for actual close relatives. If the largest segment is small, then you're not really fourth cousins. You're probably eighth cousins 5 times over.
Right. And like you said, that's something that you can't do at the other testing companies. Their threshold is what it is.
Exactly. So you can't eliminate the small segments and look just at the larger ones.
Yeah.
So well, the tools are very powerful at GEDmatch. There's a learning curve.
Sure. And
they have a wiki there. They have forums. They have little help boxes that'll pop up. They're trying to make it easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And so are you with this great webinar, this great article, and your own blog.
I mean, I just love that site. I can't believe I've been involved with them for 12 years. I did a little programming for them. I mean, it's just a great site, and I'm really happy I had some input into some of the things they've done there.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to Kitty Munson Cooper, a DNA expert and blogger, who has written extensively about GEDmatch, and I will link to her a recording of her webinar that she did for Family Tree University and the article she wrote for our website in this episode's show notes. Thanks so much, Kitty.
You're very welcome, Andrew. This has been fun. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Family Tree Magazine podcast. This is the show from America's number one genealogy magazine. As I mentioned in the interview, I've linked to Kitty's webinar and article in the show notes page, which you can find at familytreemagazine.com/genealogy-podcast. There, you'll also find a huge back catalog of past episodes full of topics that will help you in your genealogy research. When you stop by the website, be sure to sign up for our free email newsletter. That's the perfect way to stay in touch with Family Tree Magazine and get all the latest and greatest news, plus announcements of each and every new podcast episode. Until next time, have fun climbing your family tree.